It certainly is good to be here. I am so thankful for this opportunity. Last evening at 8:45, Brother Sammy called, said, "Well, you may want to get in the car. Come on." So we jumped in the car. Pulled away about 9, and usually by 10 o'clock, I've gone about all I go, you know. But we made it in. Nancy graciously opened her home. We got there about 3 this morning, and so got up 7:30, went over to the hospital, saw this gorgeous little girl. I mean, just absolutely gorgeous. And so she's doing really well. Hannah and Sammy's doing fine. They're tired, and I can understand it. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to be looking specifically this evening at the 13th verse, Hebrews 10:13, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. I've entitled this message that very thing, his enemies made his footstool. I'm going to go back and consider some verses prior to that, starting in verse 9, going through verse 17. But before we actually begin looking at that, I want to consider this thought, that is the will of Almighty God, God's will. It is of great comfort to the believer as he considers, thinks upon the will of God, what God has willed. He orders all things after the counsel of his own will. He does as he will. No man stays his hand. No man can question him. We have obtained an inheritance, the scripture says in Ephesians 1, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He works all things. Everything that happens, everything that comes to pass, everything. It is Almighty God who worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. The Lord Jesus Christ, praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed this, "Not my will, but thine be done." Oh, the depth of that statement. The God-man. Daniel 4:35 says, "All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed, are regarded as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. He doeth. He does. The will of Almighty God is marvelously set forth in how He deals with all mankind. Everyone in this building tonight, everyone that shall drive in front of this building, everyone in this community, everyone in West Virginia, everyone is dealt with by Almighty God in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. When God Almighty said, "Let us make man in our image," I mentioned this here previously, but I just want to remind you. He said, "Let us make man in our image." We know this. The Lord Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is God's image. When God Almighty said, "Let us make or consider man in our image," man was considered or made, or that word make means accomplish or advance or appoint. Man, let's make all men, let's make man in our image, in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Does not the potter have the right to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Does he not have? Let us make man. All men are made in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 9:18 says, "Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will. On whom he will, he hardeneth." Leaves to themselves. That's what he does. Leaves them alone. So therefore, in consideration of the will of Almighty God, we find now in Hebrews 10:9, the Scripture speaking of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, "Then said He, Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God." I come to do Your will. What is the Father's will? Well, John 6:39 says, "This is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." This is the Father's will. This is God's will. That of all which He's given the Lord Jesus Christ, that He should raise them up. So the Lord Jesus Christ, in coming, we behold the Father's will. "Lo, I come to do Thy will." This is the reason that He came. One reason to do the will of the Father. And in coming, He Himself sets forth His will. John 17:24 says, "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me." That is the glory of the elect surety. He is the elect of God, the chosen of the Father. And how is the Father's will? How is God's will accomplished? Well, that second part of verse 9 says this, "He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second." In the Old Testament, the Levitical priesthood, the offerings that were set up, ordained by God Himself, were not able to accomplish the purpose of Almighty God. Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "He taketh away," or that is, He put to death. That's what that means. He taketh away. He put to death the first that He may establish the second. That is to say, in the coming and giving of himself as the Lamb of God at Calvary, he established openly the will of his Father concerning the church, the bride, those that the Father had given him, and has placed his own sacrifice on an unchangeable and immutable foundation that shall never be moved or altered. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. By the which will, verse 10, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The Father's will that the Lord Jesus Christ came in the volume of the book that was written of him, established it. What does that mean? He established it. That is, he gave evidence of it. This is the Father's will. I'm giving you evidence. I come to do your will. He taketh away the first and set forth, gave witness to the will of his Father. That is, he being the better sacrifice, of a better covenant, of better promises, of which he is the mediator, established the Father's will, set it forth. It is the Father's will. We who are sanctified are made holy through the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, once for all, might be set forth. And every priest, verse 11, standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Here we behold the rightful position of the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, sitting. We're going through the book of Leviticus on Sunday evenings, going through the book and looking at these sacrifices and these different pieces of furniture, if I can say it like that, that were there. Never was there found anywhere a place for the priest to sit. When you came to the outside of the tent, went around, it was a large, enclosed, open area, and the tent being pulled back, as soon as you walked in, there was a brazen altar right there. There's no approach to God without the shedding of blood. God Almighty is a just God. He must be satisfied. There was a brazen laver inside the holy place, or the congregation, the place of the congregation where the priest, not the high priest, but the priest, the sons of the priest that ministered. Inside that holy place was an altar of incense, a picture of the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ that was placed right before the veil. You know, the coals from the brazen altar had to be put on that. You didn't, you know, no strange fire put on that. Coals from the altar. A picture of the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there was the table of showbread, a picture of Christ, the bread of life. There was the golden candlestick, Christ, the light. There was that golden laver by which the priests were washed. And in the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. That altar, laver, all of these things. But there were no chairs. Why? Because these priests were never finished. Never. Every priest, the Scripture says, standeth, verse 11, daily ministering, oftentimes offering, oftentimes same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Why must the first be taken away? Because these sacrifices could never put away the guilt of God's elect. But this man did what every priest that offered every sacrifice could never do with the continual offerings of the blood of bulls and goats. He sanctified us through the offering of His body. What the Father had purposed, He accomplished. This man, after he offered one sacrifice for sin, I read that, Brother Paul, I think, and I've been going through Leviticus now a long time. I don't know if I'm slow or, but I just, and I look at the sacrifice and I read these sacrifices and how when Moses would ordain and they would take this, and they take this unleavened bread and you'd mix it with this and the oblation of the first fruits and they'd wave it before the Lord and this offering and this offering and that. On and on and on and on. And this man offered one sacrifice for sin, himself. And after one sacrifice, he sat down. One. And it was over. This man, oh, how this very thought of these priests that continually offered these sacrifices, a God-ordained sacrifice of these bulls and goats, lambs, sheep, how this should put to silence the foolishness of man's evil thoughts that his own free will can effectually put away sin by merely quoting or mimicking a prayer from a false prophet when even the God-ordained sacrifices under the law couldn't put away sin. Men think, I can put away sin by walking down an aisle. I can put away sin by being baptized. I can put away sin by quoting the sinner's prayer. I can put away sin by joining the church. And the blood of bulls and goats that God Himself ordained could never put away sin. But this man, after one sacrifice, this man who had come to do the will of God, who took away the first that he may establish the second, by which we're sanctified through the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that one sacrifice, this man, he sat down on the right hand of God. And from the offering of his body, this offering made before Almighty God, satisfying, from that one offering, after that one offering, and he sat down, verse 13 says, from henceforth, from what? From the offering of himself. Why did he come? He came to do the will of Almighty God. And what was the will of God? That of all that the Father had given him, he should lose none of them, but should raise them up at the last day. This man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down on the right hand of God, and from that offering, that one offering, from henceforth, from the offering of his sacrifice for sins, he, the Scripture says, expecting. That is to say, reaching out. This is what it means. Reaching out in readiness to receive. Expecting. He expected something from that. If I go in and there's something that I want to buy in a store, and I tell the cashier, said the shelf right here, I'll take that thing right there. How much is it? Tells me, I said, okay, here it is. There's the money. Do you know what comes next? I expect something. Mac, I expect it. That's mine. I bought it. And I have the right to get it It's mine. I paid the price. He expected something. What did he expect? Expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. That's what he expected. Now, from this verse, I've got two questions to ask you, asking myself. Number one, who are the enemies spoken of here? And secondly, what is the Lord's footstool? Till his enemies be made his footstool. Now, before we answer this question, there's one thing that I do want to make sure that we all know, which we all know, and that is the eternal enemies of Almighty God shall surely suffer his wrath forever. There's no doubt about that. His eternal enemies. Turn with me to Revelation 6:15. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 15, 16, and 17. Revelation 6:15, "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth." Who's sitting? He who sacrificed. One sacrifice, sat there. "Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand before him who sits?" Who? This man expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. His eternal enemies, those left to themselves, shall surely suffer the wrath of his unbending justice and shall hear him say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you." But who are these enemies? Who are these? Expecting. He came in the volume of the book to do the will of God. He laid down his life. This man right here, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he offered one sacrifice for sins and sat down expecting till his enemies. These enemies are said to be an expectation of being made something. Oh, how we need to be careful not to pass over any words. How wonderful words. It just, Brother Paul, I read them and sometimes I just missed it. Expecting till his enemies be made. These enemies right now that he's speaking of in this context are going to be made. I looked up that word too. It means appointed, set, ordained, and purposed. So whoever these enemies are, these are appointed, or set, or ordained, or purposed to be made his footstool. What is his footstool? What is the footstool of God? Turn to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 28:2. 1 Chronicles 28:2. Right after Kings, 1st, 2nd Kings. 1 Chronicles 28:2. "Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building." The footstool, whatever the footstool of God is, I know this. It is a place referred to as a place of rest. I purposed to build a place of rest. Turn over to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, verse 13. Isaiah 60, verse 13. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet, my footstool, I'm going to make it a glorious place. So I know this, the place of the footstool of God is a glorious place of rest. I know that. Then turn with me to Psalm 99, verse 5. Psalm 99, 5. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He's holy. I know this concerning the footstool of God. It's a place where God is worshipped. It's a place where Almighty God allows men, privileges men, to rest, to worship. Turn with me to Psalm 110. 110, Psalm 110, verse 1, 2, and 3. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now, right now, already, what we know is this, the footstool of God. You know, when you think of a footstool, if you come to my house, and you'd sit down, and I were to tell you, hold on just a second, let me get you a footstool. Here, take your shoes off. I dare not be disrespectful concerning our Lord. I'm going to make a point here. I want you to just rest. You're welcome here in my house. Let me get you a footstool. I'm showing you special honor. Let me prop your feet up. Here, relax. Rises. Put your feet. Doesn't that feel good? A footstool. A place of rest. Concerning the Lord, it's a place of worship, rest, and peace. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord, how is He going to do that? How is He going to make His enemies His footstool? The Lord shall send the rod of His strength, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ, out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Who are His enemies? Here they are. Number three, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness, from the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. Who are the enemies of God that's spoken of back in Hebrews and in Psalm 110? Who are the enemies of God? His people. You say His enemies? The enemies of God? That's right. That's right. Colossians 1:21 says, In you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind. Not His, yours, enemies in your mind, by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me to do thy will, the will of the Father, is that all that the Father has given Him, He should lose nothing, but should raise it up
This man, back in Hebrews 10, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God and expected till his enemies, those that were dug out of the same pit, Kelly, same pit, not from the crown of their head to the sole of their foot, nothing but putrefying sores. No soundness in them. Dead in trespasses and sins. All of God's elect, born in the common nature of the fall of Adam, all of them, enemies in their minds. But in His eternal purpose and will and grace and mercy, He said, I'll have mercy on you. This man offered one sacrifice for sin. And he sat down at the right hand of the Father, right hand of God, and he expected till his enemies, those who were enemies in their minds, he expected till they'd be made his footstool. Place of his rest. Place where God Almighty would meet with them. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were all in the fall, all enemies in our mind. But in the eyes of Almighty God, some were looked on in mercy. They were enemies in His mind, in their minds. Enemies in their minds. But they, in the eternal purpose and will of Almighty God, they were set apart for His glory. Some of His enemies, truly so, in their minds, that word minds there, you know what it means? Their will. Their will. Their will. In themselves, they all said this: I will not have this man to rule over me. I will not. Oh, but this man, expecting till his enemies be made, that is, those that were appointed, that were set, that were purposed, that were ordained, be made his footstool, he said, I'm going to rest with you. I'm going to meet with you. In a mercy seat, his footstool. For by one offering, verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected these who were enemies in time, who were sheep eternally, made something that they were not by nature. Footstool. He perfected forever. That means he completed them. That's what it means, perfected. Complete conformity of those requirements as to the character and conduct which Almighty God has appointed. He considered them in his Son and looked upon them in him. As he is, so are we in this world. For by one offering, he perfected them. Whereof, in verse 15, the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, that is in verse 9, concerning the will of God, verse 16 says, this is the covenant that I will make with them. Who? Verse 13. Those who were enemies. I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, perfecting them, talking about perfecting them there in verse 14. He has perfected. This is what He's done. He said, I'm going to put My laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And this is what I'm going to do. Verse 17, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, they were found with sins and found in iniquity. In Adam, we all sinned. We were all enemies in our minds. But Almighty God, having purposed to show mercy, He came in the volume of the book. It was written of Him to do His Father's will. His Father had given Him a people. He came, not as those priests that daily stood ministering. Blood, bulls, and goats would never put away sin, but this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins, that's what it took, one sacrifice. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and He expected till His enemies, those that Almighty God had given Him, enemies in their mind, enemies by birth, enemies by choice, enemies by practice, and Almighty God that would not leave them to themselves, He made them something that they were not by nature. He said, I'm going to write My law in your heart. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new mind. And now they're not enemies anymore. They're not enemies. They're friends now. He said, you're My friend. No greater love hath any man than this. Lay down his life for his friend. Considering the grace of Almighty God that would take an enemy and make him into a friend. Gave Him a heart to be that. Wrote His law in the heart. Gave Him a new mind. And He said, you're Mine. And they say, you're Mine. I'm His and He's Mine. Expecting. And His will is going to be done. He doeth as He will. In the armies of heaven. Inhabitants of the earth. No man stays His hand. If He says, I'm going to make you a friend, you know what? He's going to make you a friend. The will of Almighty God. Our Father, how we thank You for giving us a time we just come together and worship. Give us a heart to do so. How we appreciate so much the privilege. Lord, we realize that if You did not give us a heart to long after the Lord Jesus, we wouldn't. We would gladly, in our rebellion, resist Him. Thank You. That You would not leave us to be enemies, but were pleased to make us a footstool in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our mercy seat, our atonement, our propitiation. Thank You that You would grant us time to be able to hear Your word. Give us a heart to love it, to love Him. For Christ's sake, amen. Okay. Dismissed? All righty, you're dismissed.